So tonight we're going to be in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. If you have your Bible, you can turn there now, where Jesus is talking about building our lives upon the rock. And he kind of contrasts building our life upon a rock or building our life upon the sand. And when I think about sand, I think about sand castles for some reason. Has anybody ever made a sand castle before? You've gone to the beach. Probably most of us have. And if we haven't, we've at least scooped sand up and put it in a little pile. That's about what my sand castles look like. I don't know anything about building them. I just don't, I have it all pictured in my mind, but that's about what it is. It's just this big pile of sand. But apparently, building a sandcastle is a pretty big deal and a pretty creative thing. There is an annual sandcastle building event in Carmel every year. Yeah, which I didn't know about. I found out a couple of years ago because of a friend of mine, her husband now, his family has done this event for years. They've gone to Carmel and they've been a part of this. And I don't know what you're picturing when I'm saying sandcastle, but I'm picturing, you know, just a sand castle. So what they do is they give a theme for everybody, and then all of these people come on that main beach in Carmel, and then they give it a time to start, and then they all start building their sand castle, and then there's a time to finish, and then they're judged and to see whose is the best. Well, this one year, it was 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea or something like that. So can you show that first picture? Okay, so that is their sand castle behind, but they started off, of course, with a sketch to figure out what in the world am I gonna build? Now, that's pretty creative. I think that's pretty creative, right? Pretty amazing. And there's a lot that goes into it. There actually is engineering that goes into this, and you know, the sketch, and they see, okay, what are we gonna have to do? I watched a video of them doing it. I had no idea how it was done. You know, they all dig it out, and then you've got, it's the water to pack that sand in, and it's pretty big deal. It's teamwork, and it's hours and hours spent. You can put the other picture up. As you can see how large that thing is, and it's pretty elaborate. I mean, I was impressed. Does that impress you? I don't know. It would impress me with my little pile of sand. But as impressive as that is, that a life that's built upon the sand, it may look very impressive, it may look very good, and it often is coveted. You can walk down the beach and see everybody's, and you can say, oh, you're going, okay. You can see everybody's and say, well, look at that one. Well, I want that one. Well, or, you know, that one's better than mine. And you know, there's covetousness when it comes to this, but we all know with one wave what will happen to that. Or even a dog running through, or a person, or a kid, or, you know, whatever. We know what's going to happen to that, as spectacular as that was, which is a picture of one's life who builds upon the sand. It may look good, and people may covet it, but if it's not on that firm, solid foundation, it's going to crumble. So Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, Jesus was just wrapping up his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, giving all those beatitudes, as we call them. He gave instruction, illustrations, showing his heart and teaching those people and us how to live, what to say, how to behave, how to be like him in this world. And he wraps up by saying, you don't just hear, you have to do. Okay? If you not only hear, but you do them, then you are building your house, your life, upon the rock. But if you hear them and don't do them, then you're building your life upon the sand. There's no middle. So the choice is ours, you know, it's this solid, firm foundation or this what might look nice, but with one wave, with a strong wind, the whole thing is going to be wiped out. He speaks about obedience, that we need to be doers of his word, his entire word. Every command, everything that he has taught, that he has written in his word, to be a doer of them, because those that hear only deceive themselves when they don't do. They think, well, I heard, I know that. But if we don't do that, we are deceiving ourselves. Also, those who obey partially deceive themselves because they think, well, I'm doing this, and they're not thinking about all these other things they're not doing, they're not obeying in, and they deceive themselves. Now, whether you build your house, your life, upon a rock or upon the sand, the storms will come. There's no doubt about it. You know, the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. It just, everybody gets hit with storms in this life. And these are stress-related things. They're stressors for us. Death. Nobody escapes that. Many people are hit with divorce, whether it's them directly or within their family, and that's a heavy and a hard one. Job loss, illness, crime, relationship conflicts, financial problems, on and on. Those are all storms. Those are all trials. They can cause emotional and mental trauma. They shake lives. And when they are strong enough and the foundation isn't strong, then they shake that foundation. And if a life is built on sand, it's going to collapse. And even those that it's going to be, you're built on the rock, will take a beating at times. So if a person has built their foundation on sand, eventually it will crumble and collapse. There's no doubt about that. And we see it almost every year in California with houses that slide off a cliff, mudslide, or get hit with the earthquake or whatever it might be. And those whose foundation, I mean, a foundation is vital, just in a structure, how much more in a life. It's just if your foundation is good, maybe there's going to be a little damage, a little shaking, but you're not going to crumble. But if you're built on sand, it will crumble. Now, some people's lives who build on the sand, who maybe have a sandcastle life like that, where it's just like, what? How do you look like that kind of a thing? They seem to be very strong. And even when those things hit them, they get right back up and they rebuild their lives. We probably all know people like that. They don't know the Lord. They don't have a firm foundation in their life, and yet they still seem to be, they get up and they rebuild. It really is amazing sometimes to see how people who don't have the Lord rise up and overcome. But ultimately, if they continue all the days of their life building on that sand, it's going to crumble. It's going to collapse, and they will be washed away into a horrific eternity without their Creator. They may have a wonderful life while they're here, but ultimately, it's not worth it. And sometimes as Christians, where we've built our lives upon the rock, we've built them upon Jesus, his word, we obey, and we know we go through trials, and then we get hit with a really big one. We realize sometimes that maybe our foundation isn't as strong as we really thought it was. Maybe our faith just didn't. Again, I thought I was more spiritual than I really was, because this really shook me up in whatever trial that may be. And you know, it's a wake-up call to dig deeper, to build more intentionally. And then other times we get hit with this huge trial and we are completely shocked at how well we are doing, that we're standing. And we know that is by God's grace. Sometimes we might rock or sway a bit, but we are anchored into that rock. Now we know who the rock is. We know that Jesus is the rock. And we're to build our life upon his words, as he tells us, this is his illustration, those who hear these things that I've just said, and you build your life upon them, you're building upon a rock, you're building on his word. The things that he said, the things that he taught, and the truth. In John 1:1-3, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus, in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, Jesus. Okay? He is the living Word. So his words and he himself is this rock that we build our lives upon. His words, all of his words in the Word of God. His word is our anchor. It's our compass. This is what keeps us grounded. It keeps us from being tossed to and fro. When that wind comes, again, when you're anchored into the rock and the wind comes, you might sway a little. It's just like the buildings, these skyscrapers that they build. They're made to sway a bit so they don't break, But they do sway. In our lives, we can get hit with all kinds of things, but our feet aren't moving. Our foundation is sure. It's firm. And we must obey all of his word to keep ourselves grounded and safe. And we need to be a doer of the word all the way to the finish line, all the way to the end. Otherwise, we deceive ourselves. Now, the sand, it lacks substance. And it's those things that lack substance that have no eternal value. And again, many, many people build their lives on the sand. It's sad to see. You see people in your family. It's tragic because you know what's going to happen. They won't listen, though. Many build their lives, their foundation is power. If I just get the power, the position, the money, the material possessions, or anything that the world puts value in. It's the sand. Elizabeth Elliot said, "The sand is the self. Shifty, unstable, carried back and forth by conflicting currents. Popular opinions, for example. Utterly undependable and incapable of holding up under pressure." When I read that quite a while ago, and I started thinking about that. We build our lives on the Word of God. And as Christians, we know this. We do this. We try to live our lives every single day the way that the Lord would have us to live them. We obey him, we love him, we worship him. And we take his word and we try to apply it to our lives. And we ask God, refill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the power now to incorporate these things in my life, to apply them and to live them out. And help me to be an example of you. I mean, I think most of us, we know this. These are the things that we do. And so I don't want to preach to the choir on that. But when I thought about this, conflicting currents, popular opinions, and you look at the world today, and God predicted it, of course. He said what God calls good. You know, in our country was founded on what God calls good. And society as a whole called the things that God called as good, good, for many years. But the Bible said that in these last days, what God calls good, people will call evil. And what God calls evil, people will call good. And, you know, here we are. We've all seen it. And if you're right around my age, you've really seen the change. Because, again, I mean, when I was little, nobody was calling bad things good. We knew they were bad. I mean, people still did them, but you knew. But now, no, they're calling them good. And it's this whole trend that we see, this tolerance trend. And I get very intolerant of that tolerance word. It's the doing what is right in your own eyes. It's the days of the judges where everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And that's where we live today. And it is them pushing their ways, popular opinion, whatever you want to call it, on us, as in everyone, you know, Christian, non-Christian, it's being pushed on us. And as I was thinking about this, and I really believe the Lord wants to bring this to our attention tonight, have we gotten with that wind of these popular opinions, have we gotten swayed in any way? And our immediate thought might be, well, I am a Christian. Of course not. I know what God's word says, so no. But it's very subtle. It is very subtle. We can be conditioned by these trends of the world, our culture, and maybe I won't even say the world because our country is the worst. Our country, our culture, that it's a very subtle thing that can happen. And are the things that we once really valued and took a stand in that we now maybe don't take quite as strong of a stand. What we once would stand and say, no, that's wrong. Are we now keeping silent or even caving in a little bit by saying, well, you know, who am I to judge? I need to love. I need to be kind. I need to love. It's very subtle, and when it starts kind of seeping into families, into those that we love, our children, grandchildren, as they build their lives upon the sand and these trends of the culture, they get sucked into, and now they're trying to bring them into the family. It's hard to stand against. We gotta be honest. That's not easy. It used to be you just never even think that these things would happen, but they can come into our lives as a Christian. And if we stand against them, we might be called unloving, judgmental, you know, that kind of a thing. And that stings, and that's hard. And so we could start caving, because I don't want them to think I'm unloving. I don't want them to think that I'm judging. And so I start backing down. And I don't stand for the truth. I believe the truth. But the pattern then would be is that then I can get swayed to start believing their ways. We see it all the time. It can happen very slowly to where our views are changing. If we are not keeping our feet, our minds, our hearts and our souls on the rock, the word in our lives, and standing on that truth. We might start in a family, well, we're going to try to keep the peace, so we're just not going to say anything. And that, you know, that might be what the Lord would have you to do for a time or whatever. I'm not getting into all that because every case is individual. But if I keep the peace all the time, it might turn into compromise. And many, many times it does. Where we're no longer then building our lives or keeping our feet on the firm foundation, because that sand is creeping in to our own lives and we're kind of destroying our own foundation. And we're replacing those biblical truths with this world's way of thinking. It's subtle. It is very subtle in our lives. And it's really a hard place for any Christian parent, any Christian grandparent, or if you're an aunt or an uncle or anybody in your within your family or friendships maybe that you've had throughout the years. And now this person is really changing. And doing all the things that this culture is telling them to do. If you're a Christian business owner, it's hard. It's hard. I mean, how do you make a stand without having a lawsuit or, you know, all that kind of thing, or Christian friendships, whatever. But when we start to compromise and put relationship, family, those that we love above the truth, we're on dangerous ground. And the Lord, for whatever reason, he has really directed my heart to this, to bring this to our attention. I don't know anything about anybody's lives or anything. I just feel very strongly that this is what he wants to speak to us. Even if we're fine, we have no one in our lives that is going these ways. Maybe it's a warning. Maybe it's a reminder. I don't know. I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know what's going on in your life. All I know is the Lord is saying we need to do a heart check on this. And keep our foundation on the truth. Are we still building our lives upon the truth? Are we allowing any part of the world's, this culture's way of thinking, their views, to seep into our lives that causes that foundation to become unstable? The truth is the truth. No matter what, God's word is God's word. God's word is the truth, no matter what. It doesn't matter if every single person in the whole world believes otherwise. It doesn't change the truth. He's very strong and secure in that. And we need to stand on the truth. 2 + 2 has always been 4. That is a fact. It is the truth. It doesn't matter if someone identifies with it in a different way. Fine. It's still the truth. You can't change that. It cannot be changed. God's word in 2023 is still true. So whatever he has said about mankind, about morality, about purity, is the truth. It hasn't changed. It doesn't matter what year it is. And some of us can't grasp that. There's so many within Christianity that think everything needs to change because the culture is changing. And we don't want to hurt people's feelings. Sometimes people need their feelings hurt to get to the truth. They don't need to be coddled or catered to. Hopefully we didn't do that with our kids. No, we're not going to coddle them because we know where that's going to lead in life. So God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. His truths, his values, his morals, his word do not change. Ever, ever, ever. Though culture redefines things, and Everything has been redefined. It's just flabbergasting how you can read. And then they just make up new words and definitions to make it fit the sin. I said, where did that word come from? That's not a word. That does not mean, or they change the meaning of words. That doesn't mean that. It's not okay, because God's word doesn't change. Genesis 1:27, God said, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Period. I tend to be a concrete person, a literal person. So it just is beyond my comprehension that people are even discussing anything other than what that says today. It just doesn't make any sense. Now, I get the fact that people who are totally without God in their life can get there because they want to believe what they want to believe. But as Christians, really? What happened? What happened to the heart, to the mind? Where? I don't know. As you can see, I get flabbergasted. I just am like, I can't even believe we're having this conversation in this world today, that we're talking about a man can be a woman and a woman can be a man. I don't understand that. It's just like logic, just like you ask a kid and a kid will go, what? No. But of course now even kids are being, it's just seeping in there. We're not exempt from the enemy trying to get his views in our lives. And we need to be careful, and we need to take a stand. And this is a heart check tonight. If there's any, let's just call it sand, if there's any sand in our lives, any sand seeping into that foundation, stop. Get it out tonight. Stand on the truth that has always been the truth and that will always be the truth no matter what. And if you don't know what the Bible says about that, I mean, if that verse in Genesis doesn't just kind of do it for you, then find out, ask, dig in yourself, ask a pastor, ask one of the women afterward who would pray with you and show you in the Word. Just ask, find out for yourself. Don't put your head in the sand, because this is my daughter, this is my son, this is my granddaughter, this is my grandson. Oh, I love them. I don't want to separate. I don't want to, the whole, it's an emotional thing. Don't make the decision on emotions. Make it on the truth. The truth of what God says. Elizabeth Elliot has a prayer, and she said, lead me, Lord, to the rock that is higher than I. Let me hear your word. Give me grace to obey, to build steadily, stone upon stone, day by day, to do what you say. Establish my heart where floods have no power to overwhelm me. For Christ's sake, to build steadily, stone upon stone, day by day. That's what we need to do. And we're going to spend just a few minutes, just sit quietly with the Lord. It's a heart check again. It's a time for, and Tracy's going to play instrumentally. That's why she's coming up here. She's not going to attack me. So we can sit quietly and we can say, Lord, is there any of the culture's views in my life? have I allowed them to come in and to sit side by side of your word in my life? Or have I let it overtaken your word in my life? Ask him if there's any compromise in your life or in your heart, and that, or that you're not making that stand. And I'm going to give you a few things to think about. And this is between you and the Lord, to talk with him, and seriously do. What about the culture's attitude on sex outside of marriage? What about that? What do I think about that? What does God say about it? What about abortion? What do I think about that? And what does God say about that? What about homosexuality? What do I think about that? And what does God say about it? On this whole transgenderism thing, what do I think about that? What does God say about that? And any other current cultural view that is completely contrary to God's word. So I'm going to sit with you, and I'm going to have the Lord search my heart too. Father, I pray that you would use this time to speak to us, to reveal, Lord, whatever is there. As the psalmist prayed, search our hearts, Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in us. Show us and help us to replace it by the truth of your word.